11 o'clock in Oklahoma City, along with Preston Poole, producing in studio. Follow him on Twitter at Preston Poole, P-O-O-L-E 405. My name is Matt Meyer. Welcome into the Bottom Line on 98.1 FM, WWLS Sports Animal. We want to hear from you on the Lucky Star line at 405-900-WWLS. You can reach us by text on the Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line at 62582. And you can tweet the show at Sports Animal using the Sports Animal Twitter feed powered by Mr. Electric. There is a ton of stuff to get into today. The Thunder lose to Sacramento last night. Everything else that happened around the NBA, we can talk about that. The NFL playoffs coming up, two games today, two games tomorrow. Cannot wait for all of the postseason football, particularly because my favorite team is still playing, which is a rarity. So I'm excited about that, even though a little nervous about the ball game tomorrow. We will get into all those games. We can certainly talk about Oklahoma State and Oklahoma basketball, both those teams in action in conference play later today. I would love to have your thoughts on the Cowboys and the Sooners. Do you think they have enough to be able to make a run into the NCAA tournament? So we can talk about that. Big UFC pay-per-view, lots of things going on. And again, we want to hear from you at 405-900-WWLS on the Lucky Star line, Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line at 62582, and at Sports Animal on the Sports Animal Twitter feed. Let's start off with the Thunder last night, and Oklahoma City got cooled off a little bit, particularly in the second half, as Sacramento outscores the Thunder by 12 in the third and fourth quarter combined. The Kings beat the Thunder last night, 118 to 113. How about Keegan Murray, the rookie for the Kings? Season highs, both scoring and rebounding, 29 points and 14 boards. Former member of the Thunder, Domantas Sabonis, had his fifth triple-double of the year, had 18 points, 14 assists, and 13 rebounds. Gosh, what a player he is. The Thunder have pulled so many trades, it's hard for me. I guess what he went in the Paul George deal, I guess. But, boy, you would love to have Sabonis still around, because I'm telling you, he is going to be a terrific player for a long time. Don't know if he'll ever be necessarily an all-star caliber player, certainly not an all-NBA guy, but he's going to be good for a long time. I'll always remember Charles Barkley talking Sabonis up early on in his time in Oklahoma City. And, boy, he just continues to play well. Fifth triple-double of the year. 18 points, 14 assists, and 13 rebounds. Keegan Murray, the fourth overall pick in last year's draft from Iowa. How about him becoming the first Kings rookie to have consecutive double-doubles in four seasons? Actually, yeah, four seasons, the 18-19 season. The first rookie for the Kings to have consecutive double-doubles. So a really good night for Keegan Murray. De'Aaron Fox had 23 points. The Kings are eight games over. They've got a couple of six-game winning streaks. It's the first time. How about this number? First time in 20 seasons, 20 years, that the Sacramento Kings have two six-game winning streaks in the same season. Just incredible. Would anybody have thought they would have been third in the Western Conference past the halfway point? I certainly would not. Oklahoma City falling to Sacramento. Good Sacramento team. Don't sleep on these guys. You know, it's amazing. I want to say, I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but I want to say every team in the NBA has been in the playoffs at least once in like the last two, three, four seasons, something like that. There are no playoff droughts in the NBA past, a couple, 3 years for anybody in the NBA, except the Sacramento Kings, who haven't been in the playoffs, I want to say like 16, 18 years. It's been since the mid 2000s with those really good teams in there with Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and some of those guys, Vlade Divac, a lot of guys I couldn't stand. Anyway, on those Sacramento Kings, on those Sacramento teams, it's been that long since Sacramento's been in the playoffs. By far the biggest drought in the NBA, but barring a complete collapse, they're going to be there this year as they're having a really good year. Shea Gildas-Alexander had 37 for Oklahoma City last night. Of course, the Thunder had won 3 of 4. They get cooled off a little bit last night. Isaiah Joe, man, I tell you, I saw Curtis tweet this last night. He's exactly right. Isaiah Joe has just been a revelation for this Thunder bunch. He had 21 points off the bench last night. Lou Dort, Josh Giddey each had 15. I know Jeremiah Robinson Earl didn't play with an ankle sprain, but anyway, Oklahoma City falls late last night in Sacramento. So the Thunder now 22-24. They will stay on the road to take on the Denver Nuggets in a game tomorrow night, 7 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock Central Time. That means a 5:30 Oklahoma Men's Clinic Thunder forecast tomorrow night with Gideon Hamilton and Bobby Thompson, and Matt Pinto's call shortly after 7 o'clock from the Ball Center in Denver. And, of course, the Thunder recap following. So Thunder back in action tomorrow night at Denver. And, again, Oklahoma City said they won 3 of 4. They had actually won 6 of 7. Their last 4, 6 out of their last 7. And the only game in that 7-game stretch that Oklahoma City had lost was that crazy game against Miami where the Heat didn't have, like, 4 starters and didn't have, like, oh, I think it was, like, 6 players. Miami didn't have that night. But that was the night that Miami went 40 of 40 from the free throw line, the most made free throws in the history of the NBA without a miss. That's what it took to beat Oklahoma City that night. If Miami had gone that night, if they had gone 38 of 40 from the free throw line, Oklahoma City would have had a 1-point win. But that's not what happened. So the Thunder, again, they get cooled off a little bit last night after winning 6 of 7. I want to hear from you. On this show last week, I was talking about the Thunder. I'm really starting to get excited about what's going on here. Not only do I think the pieces that are on this team right now are pretty good pieces, you got to remember it. I was reminded of this when some of the guys from ESPN were putting out, kind of like a glossary of what each team has as far as assets that they could trade, and you know, with the trade deadline coming up. Boy, you forget just how many first round picks Oklahoma City still has coming up. And you know, the pick swaps with the Clippers and some unprotected first down the line. I'm just telling you, man, it's not been a whole lot of fun the last 2 or 3 years. I think that's for the last two, we'll say. 3 years ago, Oklahoma City was in the playoffs down there in the bubble, but unexpectedly, by the way, the last 2 years certainly have not been fun. Is this team ready to be a championship team? No, of course not. They're not there yet. I don't think they're going to be, you know, a championship contender next year or anything like that. But they are in a really good position right now, not only for this season, but for years to come. Boy, if they could, you know, just add another piece, and maybe that piece is Chet Holmgren, somebody they've already added who's just out this year with an injury. Oklahoma City right now is tied with Phoenix for the 10th spot at 22-24, but things are so log-jammed. If you look at from 5 through 13 in the Western Conference, the Mavericks are in the 5th spot. The Lakers are in the 13th spot, and what a win they had last night. Holy cow, pulling a rabbit out of the hat against Memphis. But between the Mavericks and the Lakers, 5 through 13 is separated by 3.5 games, 3 games in the loss column. Right now in the play-in spots, 7, 8, 9, and 10, Golden State 23 up, 23 down, Utah is 24-25. Minnesota is 23-24. And Phoenix and Oklahoma City both there at 22-24 on the year. Of course, Phoenix has just had a ton of injuries. They've only won 2 of their last 10. Oklahoma City has been playing much better. They've won, 6 out of 8 now. 6 out of 7 going in last night. I'm going to take on a red-hot Denver team tomorrow. Denver had a huge blowout victory last night. They've won 9 in a row. Denver just crushed Indiana, 134-111, and Nikola Jokic didn't even play with some tightness in his hamstring. So that's what's next for Oklahoma City. Aaron Gordon had 28 last night. I think I read that Jamal Murray had his first career triple-double last night. Just incredible. Boy, the Nuggets like having him back. Remember down there, I think it was it in the bubble or was it the next year where maybe in the next year where Jamal Murray, you know, was out for the playoffs, and yet Denver kept overcoming those 3-1 deficits. I'll tell you, you pair him with Nikola Jokic, and, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is having a really nice year. He had 19 last night for Denver. But again, Aaron Gordon last night, 11 of 15, 28 points. Don't know Nikola Jokic's status yet. We'll see if we'll see what his status is. Try to get a read on that. We'll talk to a reporter from Denver coming up in about an hour and see what his status will be for the game tomorrow. But Oklahoma City tomorrow night taking on the best team in the Western Conference, that being the Denver Nuggets. 7 o'clock tip, 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock here, 5:30 pregame here on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal. This is the Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal. So many things going on in the world of sports. We're going to dive into Oklahoma and Oklahoma State basketball coming up. Both the Cowboys and Sooners back in action this afternoon after OSU beats OU 72-56 on Wednesday night. We'll tell you what one tournament projection shows for both OU and OSU, and we'll talk about their matchups today coming up here in a little bit. And we will certainly spend a ton of time on the NFL playoffs and all four games going on today, two today, or this weekend rather, two today and two tomorrow. But when we get phone calls, we want to go to them. So let's go to the phones. Justin, you're on the bottom line. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, man. Hey, it's great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you, too. I was going to talk to you about the Chiefs, which is a great day for football. But,
yeah.
I mean, kind of what you were talking about with the Thunder.
Yes.
I kind of switched to that. You know, I'm telling you, man, it has been a long 2 years. But, you know, I think they were talking about it yesterday on the radio. But, I mean, a lot of people were getting their patience tested with Sam Presti. And I have to say, I'm one of those guys that, like, man, he's made some bonehead trades that we thought weren't good for the franchise at the time. But, you know, when you look at what he's doing right now and what they're putting together and his eye for talent and, you know, just being able to do what he's been able to do and kind of keep his friend and staying intact and staying there as the GM, I think that I don't know necessarily if me and you lose sight of that, but I think a lot of people lose sight of what they're trying to do and what they're doing right now and the players that they got and the youngest team in the NBA. I think everybody should be excited if you're a Thunder fan for the future of this franchise and what we're going to do. And look, we don't even have Chet Holmgren yet.
Sure.
Maybe next year we're looking at what he's going to be. And, of course, with the assets we have, I think I heard somebody talking about, you know, maybe getting one of these disgruntled stars. I don't know if you want to do that with the chemistry that we have right now. Bringing in, I think he's doing just fine bringing the draft picks and developing these players. But, yeah, man, I mean, this is what they're able to do. It's been totally amazing. I mean, like I said, they're not a championship contender, but I really like what the future holds for the Thunder.
Well, Josh Giddey has gotten a lot better as the season's gone along. I really liked the pick when they made it, and I've become an even bigger fan of the pick from what we've seen from him the last year and a half. I know he got off to a little bit of a slow start this year. He's been playing a lot better lately. SGA is turning into maybe even a little bit better player than I thought. Now, last night he did not do what he's done such a good job of for the majority of the season, and that's get to the free throw line. He had 37 points. I'm not here to say he didn't have a good game. He was 16 of 23 from the floor, shot it great, made two of his three threes. We're so used to seeing him get to the free throw line last night, and that's really the area that cost Oklahoma City the game yesterday evening. Sacramento, 24 of 28 from the free throw line. The Thunder, only 7 of 11. Plus, Oklahoma City got out-rebounded big time, 53-36. But the disparity in free throws last night, and I'm not crying over the officiating, I'm just saying Sacramento last night did a lot better job of getting to the free throw line, and that's something that SGA and this team has done a pretty good job of for the majority of the season.
Appreciate you taking my call, and I look forward to, I don't know, maybe you can break down, I'll listen on the air, I like listening to you on the air, but you can break down maybe the Chiefs' chances, what
okay.
you like and what you don't like and what you're seeing, and maybe talk about today's game when you get a chance. I appreciate you.
I sure will. Justin, it's great to hear from you, and you can be next on the Lucky Star line at 405-900-WWLS. You can text into the show. Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line is 62582, and the Sports Animal Twitter feed powered by Mr. Electric at Sports Animal. That's the first playoff game today. Kansas City hosting Jacksonville. The Chiefs, of course, were the one seed in the West, so they had the bye. Boy, I hate talking about Jacksonville in front of Preston. I'm sorry, dude. We're actually going to have a guest on from a Jacksonville television station. Trust me, Preston didn't book that. The reason I say that, Preston, big Chargers fan. I was thinking about you last Saturday, dude. I really was. And then add to the fact you work so closely with Josh Lee, who is a Jacksonville fan on the Thunder broadcasts. Man, I felt bad for you, but yeah, Jacksonville and Kansas City today. Oh, Jacksonville's a really nice story. I mean, I've seen a lot of them recently. You know, they beat, you know, the Cowboys in that overtime game a few weeks back. And then I watched, you know, every bit of their game against Tennessee in week 18. That was essentially for the AFC South Championship because that was the only game on at that time. And then, of course, I watched the game last week. Jacksonville's a really good, they're a really good story. Trevor Lawrence has really improved from last year to this year. His completion percentage is up from like 59 to 66 or something like that. You know, he's Trevor Lawrence, you can tell he's got a chance to have a tremendous career if he keeps going on this path. And we'll talk with Cole Pepper, who covers the Jaguars for WJXT television. We're going to talk with him coming up here in about 25 minutes or so. One of the things I'm going to talk to him about is Christian Kirk. I think one of the more underrated receivers in the NFL, has over 1,100 yards. You know, so many of these guys for Jacksonville, it's kind of hard to, keep them in mind because, you know, the Jaguars traditionally are not normally on national TV. They're not one of the more premier teams in the league in terms of name recognition or ratings or whatever. But they're a really nice story. And I don't think you can credit Doug Peterson and the job that staff has done enough for the job, for what they have done this year, taking over an absolute mess last year that Urban Meyer, led. I mean, what a disaster that was. For them to make this turnaround, to go from, you know, the worst team in the league, having the number one pick, to winning a division, winning a playoff game, has been tremendous. Now, I think they're in for it today. I just, it's not that Jacksonville can't win this game. They can. If they play really well, you know, perhaps they can, you know, make it a ball game. But I just think Kansas City is going to have too much for them. I mean, I'm not going against Patrick Mahomes and the weaponry he has around him. With Travis Kelce, I understand the Chiefs don't have quite the explosiveness this year without Tyreek Hill, but I mean, Mahomes, again, he's thrown for 5,250 yards this year, 41 touchdowns, only 12 interceptions. As long as he takes care of the football, it's hard for me to see the Jaguars going to Kansas City and winning. I think once Juju Smith-Schuster has been able to work his way into things, you know, he's been a really nice weapon for Mahomes this year. He had 933 yards this year. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, coming over from the Packers, had a decent year. So I know that, you know, Tyreek Hill is not there anymore, and that's taken away some explosiveness from this Chiefs team. At the same time, though, they still I still think they're as good as anybody, and I would expect them to win today. Whoever they play, whether it's Cincinnati or Buffalo, I think is going to be a whale of an AFC championship game. And frankly, Kansas City will have something to prove to either Cincinnati or Buffalo, no matter who they play. And yeah, Kansas City has to win today. I'm not going to just cast the Jaguars out, but this has the makings to me, this game today, of a game between a team that's been there, done that. You know, they win a Super Bowl, then they go to another Super Bowl. They're in the AFC Championship game last year. So Kansas City has plenty of playoff experience. This has the game, to me, of kind of being a reality check to Jacksonville. Trust me, I think Jacksonville's definitely pointed in the right direction, and they've got a lot of young talent on both sides of the football. I just think Kansas City is going to show that, hey, you know, we – and I don't like cliches like this, but they kind of know what it takes this time of year. So I like Kansas City, maybe not like in a blowout, but I would take the Chiefs, 35-17, something in that range, maybe 38-20, somewhere in there, a really solid performance for Kansas City. That's what I would expect today. Not that it's going to be, you know, the men against the boys or anything, but Kansas City's a better team, and I would certainly expect them to win. We're going to go back to the Lucky Star line here in just a second. You can be next at 405-900-WWLS if you want to call in on the Lucky Star line. Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line is 62582, and at Sports Animal on the Sports Animal Twitter feed powered by Mr. Electric. Would love to have your thoughts on the NFL playoffs. We can talk Oklahoma and Oklahoma State basketball as well. Both those teams back in action today. And we can certainly talk about the Thunder and other NBA matters. And we will tell you what else is coming up on the show today. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Fun weekend of sports with all the NFL playoff action. OU and OSU back in action this afternoon. Thunder lost last night. They play the best team in the Western Conference tomorrow night. That's the Denver Nuggets. I want to hear from you on all of that. Plus a big UFC pay-per-view we'll talk a little bit more about in hour number two. This is The Bottom Line on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Coming up in about 15 minutes, like I had mentioned, we're going to talk with Cole Pepper, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for WJXT television in Jacksonville. It's Channel 4 down in Jacksonville. We'll ask him about the Jaguars and that just improbable win last Saturday, coming back from being down 27-0 and five first-half turnovers. So we'll talk about the Jaguars and their date with the Kansas City Chiefs, 3:30 this afternoon. We'll do that here in about 15 minutes or so. Coming up at the top of the hour, Michael Spencer will join us. Michael with KCNC Television in Denver, the CBS affiliate. We're going to talk about the Nuggets, who's next up for the Thunder, like I mentioned. Again, they just hammered the Pacers last night without two-time reigning MVP Nikola Jokic. Man, that did not exactly get me excited about the chances of the Thunder winning tomorrow, seeing what they did last night. But, again, Oklahoma City cooled off a little bit last night. Just didn't get to the free throw line enough last night. Only 7 of 11 from the free throw line. Whereas Sacramento 24 of 28 and the Thunder got hammered on the boards last night, 53-36. Those are the main reasons why Oklahoma City did not come away with a victory. Although SGA was tremendous, 16 of 23, 37 points, 7 assists, no turnovers in 38 minutes. Heck, that's one of the better games SGA's had all year long, even though he only got to the free throw line 4 times. How about Isaiah Joe, man? The game before, I think he was 7 of 12 from the floor, all 12 of those shots from 3-point range. Last night, Joe, 7 of 13 from the floor, 7 of 12 from 3. Man, we sure would love to be able to hold on to him for as long as possible because he is a guy that can come off the bench and fill it up. Now, having said that, that's about about all the Thunder got off the bench last night. Thunder scored, let's see if I can do the math here, 29 points from the bench, 21 of those from Isaiah Joe. But it was not enough to beat Sacramento, who's having kind of a renaissance-type year. You know, I asked Craig Humphreys earlier this week, I said, you know, where does De'Aaron Fox rank in terms of players around the league? You know, is he a top 20 guy? Yeah, probably not. No, probably a little bit high for him, but he might be in that 21 to 30 range. Now, Fox had 25 last night. He did not have a great night shooting. He was 10 of 23 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3-point range, only 3 of 7 from the free throw line. But Sacramento got plenty of contributions. Like we mentioned, Keegan Murray, the fourth pick overall from Iowa, was tremendous last night for Sacramento, 10 of 12 from the floor, 5 of 7 from 3-point range for 29 points. And again, the former member of the Thunder, Domantas Sabonis, 18 points last night to go with 14 boards and 14 assists. So Oklahoma City had a better night from behind the 3-point line, which is not something you will hear a whole lot, even though Isaiah Joe has been on fire lately. But Sacramento certainly made up for it from behind the free throw line, 24 of 28 last night, and the Kings beat the Thunder by 5. So next up for the Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, and we'll talk with Michael Spencer of Channel 4 in Denver about that and some other Denver sports matters. May hit on the Broncos, may get his thoughts on Deion Sanders at Colorado coming up. We'll do that at the top of the hour. Huge UFC pay-per-view tonight. Cannot wait for it. UFC 283, two titles on the line. Glover Teixeira taking on Jamal Hill for the vacant light heavyweight title, and also the flyweight title. Yeah, they're going to fight again. Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. This is the fourth fight that they've had. I believe it's the fourth consecutive fight for Figueiredo against Moreno. Moreno had one in between there, but these guys are 1-1-1 against each other. So a big pay-per-view tonight. And then was there ever some earth-shattering news this week in UFC? John Jones is back. Yeah, he really is this time, even though it's been 3 years ago since he has fought. He is going to be next in line for a chance at the UFC Heavyweight Championship. That's because The UFC doesn't have a heavyweight champion right now, and we'll talk about that and many other things involving UFC and mixed martial arts with the Punisher, Emmanuel Rivera, coming up at 12:20. And then at 12:40 today, we will talk about one of the playoff games tomorrow, Cincinnati at Buffalo. We'll do that with George Vogel of WLWT Television, which is Channel 5 in Cincinnati. So we've got plenty of discussion on the NFL playoffs coming up and the Thunder, the NBA, and college basketball as well. Let's go back to the Lucky Star line and let's hear from Coach T. Coach T, you're on the bottom line. What's up, man?
Hey, not much. What's going on?
Hey, it's great to hear from you, man.
Thanks. Hey, on my way outside here as I'm talking. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Oklahoma State football.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And the Peyton Place that it is. Those of you old enough to know what Peyton Place is. No, I found it. I just wanted to say, you know, when all that, you know, portal stuff started hitting and stuff, I think it did make most of us fans a little panicky, like, you know, what in the heck?
What's going on?
Going
right.
on?
Yep.
And then a couple of players kind of came out and said, you know, made a couple of statements. I'm talking about players that stayed, more like, hey, you know, it's okay, you know, kind of like more like, hey, these. I can't explain. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the quotes that they said, but more, you know, in like, hey, these guys are big boys. They're moving on, kind of thing. So what is kind of the gist of it that I got.
Well, and Coach, I think that's kind of the attitude they need to take. I mean, you know, look, with the way things are in college football right now, you're seeing it everywhere. Guys go, guys come in. And it's kind of one of those things where, at least publicly, you kind of have to have the attitude of, look, whoever wants to put on an orange helmet, you know, they're on our side, and we're going to go win games with or without them. You know, I think that's kind of the attitude they have to take. You know, it doesn't do you any good to cry over spilled milk in public, you know.
Well, you know, one thing that I find to be quite interesting is that, you know, on our team we had two sets of brothers, and each one brother left,
right,
and one brother stayed. And, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting in itself, you know, because usually, you know, you would think that they would, you know, maybe stick together to a degree, I guess is the word I'm saying. But no, aside from the interesting aspects of all that, I thought that once the dust has settled now and, you know, the portal is, you know, guys are coming in and so forth, you know, I was fairly pleased with what I saw. I'm going, okay, they filled some needs. They got some interesting guys, you know, and how good they're going to be in the long run, nobody knows. But on the surface, it sure seems like they got some guys that maybe fit the puzzle pieces. You know, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I like you said, Coach T, it's really kind of hard to say until they get on the field. You know, the big one is quarterback. You know, will Bowman come in and start right away? You know, possibly. I think on the field, I think losing Spencer Sanders is a big loss. I don't know how anybody could think differently. You know, he would have been a 5-year starter, you know, had he chosen to come back. And, you know, I think probably his best performance this year was in that Texas game. It is concerning to me that some of these receivers chose to go. You know, Stephon Johnson, I thought, Coach, he had a chance to be that next really terrific receiver at OSU. And, you know, losing him and Bryson Green bothers me a little bit. Now, all due respect, losing J.P. Richardson, I'm not really sweating bullets over that. Frankly, I know USC, you know, Mason Cobb went out there, but I don't know. I mean, Mason Cobb made a lot of tackles, but I don't know that Mason Cobb is the next Dick Butkus. I can't say that. So some of the guys, Coach, that they lost, I'm not happy that they left, and some of the guys I wish would have stuck around. I really think, though, before everybody just gets too bent out of shape, I think there was – how can I phrase this, Coach? I think that there was some friction that had developed between Spencer Sanders and that coaching staff for whatever reason, and I've heard different reasons why. I think there was some friction there, and I'm not so sure that in terms of – again, on the field, it's a loss, but off the field and in that locker room, and I don't want to paint Spencer Sanders out to be a bad person. That's not what I'm doing. I don't know him. I don't know that everything was I don't know that there was a whole lot of harmony between him and the coaching staff. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think there's some validity to that. And I'm with you. I think the two biggest losses are Green and Johnson.
Yeah,
I hate them go. Several receivers didn't get much playing time because they were hurt all season.
Sure.
You know, like Bray, he never hardly saw the field. So I'm curious to see how it's going to come together. But I will say this, Matt, no matter who's at quarterback, if they don't fix the issues on
the offensive line,
it's not going to matter because Spencer would just get hurt again, you know, in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
If the offensive line issues are not addressed, I'm not sure what the answer to that is. I'm not sure if it's just growth and training and bringing in a couple of guys. We'll see. But that, as a fan, that's what I am hoping, is that the offensive line will just get to be where it's at least average and not just getting, you know, hammered every game.
I'm totally with you, Coach. If you don't fix that, I short of having Barry Sanders or Thurman Thomas back there, if you don't fix the offensive line, not a whole lot's going to matter anyway. I'm totally with you. So I'm looking at the list here on pistolsfiring.com of outgoing players. Now, again, I don't want to whitewash losing Spencer Sanders. The guy was one of the better quarterbacks they've ever had up there. I think there were some issues that developed between him and the coaching staff. And I'll just say that I'm not sure, and maybe this is not the right way to look at it, but I'm just not so sure there's a whole lot of guys in that coaching office that are crying tears over him leaving. I'll just put it that way. Some of these guys, you know, look, I'm a big fan of Dominic Richardson because I've been around his uncle and gotten to know him. Dominic Richardson is just an okay college back. You know, he's not Kendall Hunter or Tatum Bell or even one of the Hall of Famers they've had up there. For me, losing Bryson Green and Stephon Johnson, those are losses I'm concerned about. I would agree there. Jabbar Muhammad was an okay corner. Again, it's not like he was Justin Gilbert or a first round pick or anything like that. You know, Braylon Presley was an eye-opener to me. I kind of figured, much like his brother, he would be a guy that in the future would be somebody they would get the ball a lot to because of how fast he is. Frankly, I know a lot of Oklahoma State folk weren't happy with Trace Ford going to OU, and I understand that to a certain extent, but I hate to say it, but with all the injuries he's had, I don't know what kind of a difference Trace Ford's going to make down there. You know, so I guess I'm saying there's been a lot of guys leave. I don't know that there's just been a ton of difference makers that leave. That's all I'm trying to say.
I think there's only, to my opinion, really four guys that I really wish we still had. The two receivers you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and really, who wouldn't want to keep Cobb? He was solid. He's not a star.
He was all right. Yeah. Right.
And I would have liked to keep, I can never say the guy's name, the defensive tackle.
Yeah, Tuilamaka, yeah.
You hate to lose a solid defensive tackle no matter what team you are on. So I kind of hated to lose those guys. Now, I'm going to change direction real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because the defensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
just wanted to give you my opinion and get your take on it. I'd like them to go ahead and make Joe Bob Clements the defensive coordinator. He's earned his stripes. Two, he knows the system. Three, I think he's respected by other coaches and players. I think he was a little bit out of position as a coach last year as a linebackers coach. I know, you know, he's a defensive coach, but, you know, our defensive line had a lot of success with him as one of the co-coaches there. So as a fan, as someone who knows a little bit about football and athletics, that would be my choice. And your thoughts?
I got you, Coach. I appreciate the phone call. It wouldn't bother me if they promoted him. I know people have been trying to connect dots between Gundy and Gary Patterson. I certainly think you could do worse than Gary Patterson as a defensive coordinator. The guy certainly knows what he's doing defensively. I tell you, the guy I would have loved for them to be able to go get was Jim Leonard, the former Wisconsin defensive coordinator that was the interim coach. And then, I don't remember if Luke Fickell retained him or not. I don't think he did. I could be wrong, though. I don't remember. But anyway, Jim Leonard would have been tremendous. He was just, you know, well-respected guy who I knew, you know, was not going to be back where he was. So, yeah, no, that's going to be interesting. And to be honest with you, I just haven't heard a whole heck of a lot of what they're planning on doing. The less you hear, the more it makes me think that Joe Bob Clements will be the guy. So that will certainly be something to pay attention to as well. You can be next on the Lucky Star line, 405-900-WWLS. Good to hear from Coach T, big Oklahoma State fan. Always appreciate hearing from him. And we can certainly talk OSU and OU football or basketball as well if you would like. Coming up next, we're going to dive into the first NFL playoff game this weekend. That is Jacksonville at Kansas City, 3:30 this afternoon in a game televised by NBC, Channel 4 locally. Cole Pepper will join us from News 4 Jax, Channel 4 in Jacksonville, to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do they need to do to pull what I think would be a pretty sizable upset today inside Arrowhead Stadium? That's next on The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports and
named one of the best personal finance podcasts. The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Man, just can't wait for the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm a little more fired up than normal just because my team is still in it. That doesn't normally happen. Man, the Cowboys, what I wouldn't give to win tomorrow against the 49ers. We'll talk much more about that and all the other NFL playoff games coming up throughout the show. Don't forget, here in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Michael Spencer of Channel 4 in Denver, the CBS affiliate, KCNC, and we'll talk about the Thunder's next opponent. That would be the Denver Nuggets, who had a very good night last night, beating up on Indiana without the two-time MVP, Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray with a triple-double last night, so the Thunder will certainly have a tough one tomorrow as they look to rebound from their loss to Sacramento late last night. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, we're joined by Cole Pepper of WJXT Television in Jacksonville, Channel 4 in Jacksonville, News 4 Jax. You can go to news4jax.com for more information on that great television station, and you can follow Cole on Twitter at Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R. And Cole joins us to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wow, Cole, what a night in Jacksonville last Saturday as the Jags overcome a 27-0 deficit, five first-half turnovers to defeat the Los Angeles Chargers 31-30, 36-yard field goal by Riley Patterson at the gun, provided the winning points. Trevor Lawrence ended up throwing for 288 and four scores, overcoming four first-half interceptions for him. His college teammate, now his pro teammate, Travis Etienne, had 109 yards on 20 carries. The Jaguars' defense played much better in the second half, only allowing 3 points to the Chargers after halftime. What a night at TIAA Bank Field. Cole, I know the Jaguars have been to three AFC championship games in their relatively short history as an NFL organization, but Cole, that has to be one of the more memorable nights in, 27, 28 years of Jaguar football, I would think.
Yeah, I've covered this team since year two, and 1996 was the second year that they played. They went to the AFC Championship game that year as a huge underdog. And before the game against the Chargers, we were doing a pregame show, and I put together a package about the ranking the all-time playoff wins. And the number one playoff win prior to that was 62-7 victory over Dan Marino and the Dolphins. Miami Dolphins in 1999. Retired Dan Marino, retired Jimmy Johnson to the broadcast booth, and sent the Jaguars off to play in the AFC title game at home against the Tennessee Titans. That was the number one game before that. I think there's a new number one. I have never seen with my own eyes a game played out like that. Obviously, we know about the Bills comeback and so forth back in the day, but when you have five turnovers, including four interceptions by a quarterback who had only one interception thrown in the previous seven games, you're like, boy, the wheels have just come off. They spent it all beating the Titans in the final game of the season to win the AFC South. This is all they've got. And then they score late in the half, and they're like, all right, well, they're on the board. And then they score with their first drive of the second half. You think, oh, okay, well, they could make it interesting. and the defense gets another stop and they score again. And I mean, I still am not sure how it really happened. In the postgame locker room, I was asking guys like Marvin Jones, how did this happen? And he just kind of laughed. I guess that's just kind of the way we want to do things. That's us. Well, I don't think they can do it that way against the Chiefs, but it has been a remarkable season and a remarkable turnaround to go from the dumpster fire of Urban Meyer to the professionalism and success of Doug Peterson in just a year's time.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that here in just a second, because it is. I mean, if there's ever been a night and day scenario in the NFL from one year to the next, it's that. It's funny you bring up that playoff game at the end, I believe, of the 1999 season. One of the members of the Dolphins coaching staff, a guy named Pat Jones. Pat was the head coach at Oklahoma State for 11 or 12 years, mm-hmm. worked for Jimmy before that at Oklahoma State, and was on the staff down there at Miami. Pat has done radio with us for 16 years, so believe me, I've heard all about that 62-7 game. I know much more about that than I'd probably like to, but I just thought, you know, what we just haven't seen, and it's so amazing, because just a few weeks earlier, we saw, you know, the Vikings come back from, what, 31, mm-hmm. 33 down or whatever it was, the NFL record to beat the Colts up there in Minnesota, and then to see that the other night was just remarkable. Let's talk about Trevor Lawrence. He's made, I think, dramatic improvement from year one to year two. He's completed 66% of his passes, at least in the regular season he did, for more than 4,100 yards, 25 scores, only 8 interceptions. That's what made it so, you know, shocking last week to see him throw those first those 4 interceptions in the first half a week ago. Can you talk about his improvement from year one to year two? What do you think has been the biggest key for Lawrence to shake off from a poor start or to shake off from last year? And then also talk about how he overcame the poor start last week, because I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what his confidence was after those 4 interceptions. Talk about Lawrence, kind of the seasons he's had.
Yeah, the biggest reason why he's had the turnaround is because they got rid of a college coach who had no business being in the National Football League and brought in a proven winner as a head coach who not only played the position but coached the position, had been an offensive coordinator, and had developed quarterbacks. I mean, that's the biggest thing. There was nothing wrong with Trevor Lawrence last year. There were some things that as a rookie you would have expected him to do. There was things wrong with this organization. There were things wrong with the decision to have brought in Urban Meyer. It was a terrible decision. It was bad from the beginning, and it got worse from there. So just firing Urban Meyer late in the season, Trevor had his best game as a rookie the last game of the year. So that gave you some thought that, okay, it was so bad, it was so toxic around the Jaguars, that just getting rid of Meyer was going to be a big benefit. Well, now you've got a guy who really knows how to develop, who draws up plays, who brought in assistants, who really understand how to maximize the abilities of players on offense in particular. And that was a big thing, but it wasn't an overnight fix for Trevor Lawrence. He didn't go, you know, last year there was the first half of the year this year, he looked better in spurts. Had a couple of big games, including in the regular season against the Chargers, a big game against the Colts, where the Jaguars in the first 3 weeks of the season had 2 big wins over teams that were expected to be playoff teams, one of which would wind up being a playoff team. But it was up and down, and he had 2 games in particular, one against Houston here in Jacksonville, the other against Denver on the road, where it was technically a home game, but in London, where he made basically the same mistake twice. And that was forcing a ball into the end zone, rolling out to his right, both times resulting in an interception, and both times the Jaguars wind up losing the game. So at that point, you're thinking, well, geez, where's the growth is so slow. Where are we going to see this thing take off? Well, after that London game, they played Kansas City, and he played all right against Kansas City. They lost by 10, but kept it close. And then they went away to the bye week, and when they came back, it was like a light switch flipped on. Lawrence was making the right decisions. He was more accurate. There was a little tweak with his mechanics that may have helped that a little bit. But there was so much support around him and positive energy around him. And, hey, we're going to get this. Doug Peterson is such an even-keel guy that I think that went a long way, because Trevor's a very even-keel guy naturally as well. And then, you know, things clicked and it just started working. And they sort of pared down the playbook a little bit in terms of saying, well, these things aren't working right now, so let's focus on the types of plays that are working. They didn't reduce the number of plays they were using in a game, but the sort of the types that they were. The short passing game was working very well. It set up the long game, Travis Etienne running the football certainly helped. But, boy, over the last half of the season, Trevor Lawrence has looked like a guy who should have been the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, right now, when you start looking at the AFC quarterbacks, he fits right in there. You know, when you start having the conversation, certainly Mahomes is at the top, but Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, then I think you got to mention Trevor Lawrence.
I think he's bound to have a great future. And, of course, you never know. Injuries, I mean, this is the NFL. We know what that stands for, not for long. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Heck, I think Doug Peterson kind of got ran out of Philadelphia sooner than he should have, at least in my opinion. The guy did win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, for crying out loud. We're talking with Cole Pepper of News 4 Jax, Channel 4 in Jacksonville, here on the Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. We've talked a lot about it, but I think it's the story of the season for Jacksonville, the difference night and day, at least it appears to me, Cole, from the outside of the culture or how things are run inside that organization. Besides the development of Lawrence and having a guy who knows what he's doing with NFL quarterbacks and Doug Peterson, what do you think the biggest changes away from that have been in terms of the entire organization? What, give me some tangible things that Peterson and this staff does differently than the staff did a year ago.
Well, I'll start first and foremost with, from an X's and O's standpoint, they understand the NFL game. Mm-hmm. There were too many guys involved last year who were trying to force what they, you know, what had been done at Ohio State and try to make, you know, adapt it to the NFL style. Well, there's a reason, you know, there's a difference between the NFL and college. And anybody who has paid any attention to it should know that. Urban Meyer had, you know, for whatever reason, ego, blinders, whatever, couldn't get that. Number two, respect. There's a much bigger respect both ways this year. Last year, and part of it was the, you know, the way that he came in and sort of college rah-rahed a little bit, and then the incident where he stayed behind and got caught in a bar with a woman in Cincinnati didn't help at all. But there wasn't a lot of regard for Urban Meyer from the veteran players in the Jaguars locker room. This Jaguars locker room loves playing for Doug Peterson. He knows how players want to be treated. He treats them that way, treats them as professionals. He's not soft on them, but he knows that there are some, the things you need to really be pointed about are about the details. And Urban Meyer never got the point about details. Doug Peterson coaches to make his team better. Last year, I think Urban Meyer coached to try to make him seem like a better coach. And, professionals can see right through that. And so it is just a completely different environment. There were some good coaches on that staff last year. Bernie Parmalee is still on this staff as as a running backs coach. But there were so many guys who were just out of position or, you know, having a guy with the credibility of Doug Peterson as the head coach allowed the Jaguars and allowed Peterson to bring guys into Jacksonville who were accomplished in their positions as position coaches. And that's made a huge difference. Have Mike McCoy, a former head coach in the National Football League, as a quarterbacks coach, is huge. And the people they've surrounded Trevor with, Jim Bob Cooter, a longtime offensive assistant in the league, Press Taylor is the offensive coordinator, and Doug, those four coaches around Trevor Lawrence have made a huge difference.
Press Taylor from Norman, Oklahoma, the brother of Zach Taylor, who is the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. They are also playing this weekend at the Buffalo Bills. So it's just night and day what's going on down there. And to me, the future is really bright, regardless of what's what happens this afternoon. He's Cole Pepper of WGXT Channel 4 down in Jacksonville. Jaguars and Chiefs, 3:30 Central Time on NBC. That's Channel 4 for us here in Oklahoma City. Cole, enjoy the ball game today. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
You betcha. That's Cole Pepper of Channel 4 in Jacksonville talking about the Jaguars. Look, I'm not saying they can't win the game. I just think that this, to me, is kind of setting up to be one of those, okay, it's a nice story. It's kind of back to reality a little bit. That's just my opinion. I just think the Chiefs are a lot better. You know, everybody this year wasn't paying any attention to the Chiefs in the preseason because all the other AFC West teams were making these moves to bring in Russell Wilson, to bring in Devontae Adams, to bring in Khalil Mack, and all these other guys. And the Chiefs are just sitting over here saying, hey, wait a minute, remember us? We won a Super Bowl. We've been in another one. And I know they don't have Tyreek Hill, but I still think the Chiefs are really, really good. And I don't expect them to just annihilate Jacksonville today, but I would give the 9.5. Again, something like you know, 34-17, 38-20, somewhere in there, I think, is what we're looking at today inside Arrowhead Stadium. Can't wait for the game, though. 3:30, Channel 4, locally. Up next, we talk about the Denver Nuggets. They are the next opponent for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll talk with Michael Spencer of Channel 4 in Denver about the Nuggets and other Denver sports matters to begin hour number two of The Bottom Line on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.